Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
I declare the games of the 31st Olympiad closed.
With a blink of an eye, the Rio 2016 Olympics are over. For months, the world speculated if Rio would survive hosting the greatest show on earth, but they now have, and it was one of the more memorable games of our times. We look back at the best and worst of the 31st Olympiad with our very own three-time Olympian, Tan Sri Dr. Mani Jagadesan.
Bar none, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, this is Bar None, your sports and fitness lifestyle guide. I'm Audrey Raj. It's been almost a week since the Rio 2016 Olympics came to an end, and I don't know about you, but I am really missing waking up to the games on television. So to look back at some of the more memorable moments from the Rio Games and the kind of lessons athletes and people around the world learned from these games, we have, backed by popular demand, three-time Olympian Tan Sri Dr. Mani Jagadesan. This legendary sprinter was part of 11 different Olympic Games in different capacities. He represented Malaysia in the sprint events at the Summer Games in Rome, Tokyo and Mexico City in the 60s, then continued to be part of 8 other editions, either as a medical officer in the Malaysian team, a Malaysian chef de mission to the Games, or as part of the Olympic Council of Asia.
Well, basically, I think the very first thing to note is this is the first time in a long time I've actually just sat at home and watched TV. And initially, you know, I was, of course, very disappointed and not having a role to play in the Olympic Games this time. And I was wondering how it will be just to sit at home and watch. But having gone through these last 16 days of watching TV, suddenly I realized that actually there are some pluses as well. Because there are lots of things that you get to see at close range, which you wouldn't see sitting in a corner in a stadium. I mean, for instance, the facial expressions, the body language, and so on, which you don't get to see. But here on TV, they actually focus all of this for you. And secondly, you know, there was an extremely good coverage this time, I must say.
Yes.
And it cost me nothing. I was quite surprised, you know. And you had a choice of channels and you had a choice of sport just at a click away, huh? And, you know, for instance, if you're actually on site, having finished one game, and if you wanted to go to the next, it may take you the better part of 2 hours.
By then, the game is over. You'll be traveling across Brazil.
You'll be traveling across. You have to go through security. You have to wait for a car or catch a bus or take the MRT. I mean, there are so many things that could happen in between, you know. And it's not so easy to move around. Here, at the click of a button, you have access to all the greatest sporting moments of this Olympic Games. So in that sense, at the end of the day, I look back and I say that, look, for once, I was an armchair Olympic spectator, and that I was able to see a lot more and enjoy a lot more of the various nuances that make these Olympic Games what it is. And this Olympic Games, the series of Olympic Games means different things to different people. All right? At one extreme, to some people, is a religion.
Yes.
Olympism is a religion.
Yes.
I mean, they probably have their own religion as well, but this is another one of it. And they actually spend their entire lives in its pursuit. For the rest of the world, it's one of the biggest spectacles that holds the world captive for these 2 weeks.
Yeah, it really does.
It does. If you look at it, it's because of its globality, especially now that the television has come. You see them in real time. I mean, when I first started going to the Olympics, I mean, we had to write letters home and say how you did.
Whoa.
I mean, or somebody has to tune in to the international radio station or something. You know, even our own local stations didn't afford to send commentators and things like that. You know, so you actually had to go and find a way to tune to international channels like BBC and so on. And if you catch the race of your Malaysian player, then you're very lucky. So things like that. So the universality of the sport has been enhanced by the technology today. It's at everybody's fingertips.
The 31st Olympiad in Rio served up many memorable moments, not only for Malaysians, but other nations competing at the Games. The United States once again had a successful campaign, emerging champions with more than 120 medals, 46 of them gold. Great Britain, meanwhile, beat juggernauts China and Russia to the runners-up position, a feat they are still celebrating more than a week after the end of the Games.
First of all, you start with the mega performances, the superheroes, as it were. And it's hard to take away the repeated glory that and the sort of icons that people like Phelps, who's come and won his 23rd goal.
Ridiculous. All right?
23rd goal in a career. All right? And then you get this Usain Bolt, who comes and does the triple treble, meaning he has won 3 gold medals in the same 3 events in 3 Olympic Games. Unprecedented. What he calls the triple-triple.
The triple-triple.
And then not wanting to be outdone by that, here you get Mio Farah coming doing the double-double. You know, winning the 5,000 and 10,000 twice, equaling the record of the earlier legendary figure called Lasse Wiren. Mm-hmm. So you get these kind of superlative performances from these guys. I think, you know, these two guys sort of top the table for having come back and lived up to their promise of delivering this triple-triple or this double-double. At the same time, you know, you get the heartbreaking stories of other winners who came back and lost it under very close and trying circumstances. A case in point would be, for instance, Valerie Adams of New Zealand, the women's shot putt. She's won twice before and she was hoping to win again. And she was leading until the last throw. Then just in the very last throw, the American Michelle Carter just beat her by a small margin. So she was not one of those who returned to win a gold medal. And the same thing would happen in the heptathlon, you know. The heroine in London, Alice, was again expected to repeat her gold medal phenomenon. And, you know, the heptathlon finishes up with the 800 meters. And Alice is so much a better 800 meter runner. At that point, a girl called Tian was leading, but Alice had still a great chance because she was a great 800 meter runner. And she ran out to do her best, and all Tiam had to do is somehow latch on to her. Of course, she couldn't beat her, but latch on to her and not be too far away to have completely obliterated the points deficit. And this was reminiscent of the dramatic fight between C.K. Young and Rafer Johnson in the 1960 Decathlon Championships. Rafer Johnson was the leader, but the 1500 meters is not his favorite event, whereas C.K. Young was much better, and C.K. Young had a chance of making up the deficit in the 1500 meters, and Rafer had just to hang on to ensure that the deficit is not covered. So this was 50 years later, a sort of a replay of the same kind of drama. At the same time, you get stories of people who tried and tried and tried again and finally came and got the gold medal. One example was this girl called Iba Gulu of Colombia, who won the triple jump after appearing in the Olympic Games a number of times. And at the same time, you get a 37-year-old Spanish lady high jumper finally making gold, Bita from Spain. So, you know, you have the whole mix of these
different kinds of fairy tales.
Fairy tales, yeah. And as I said, at the end of it, everybody cries.
One of the standout performers at this Games would have to be the fastest man in the world right now, Usain Bolt. The Jamaican was unstoppable in the sprint events, bagging the gold in the 100 metres, 200 metres and 4x100 metres events effortlessly. Tan Sri Dr. Mani Jagadesan, who was once known as the fastest man in Asia, explains the kind of impact Bolt's success on the track can make back in his home country. So what is life like after the Olympics for the athletes? I mean, now Usain Bolt, you know, a triple-triple, he comes back. What's next for him?
Oh, you're picking the most extreme example.
Yes, I am.
Usain Bolt has done his triple-triple and he comes from a country which, in terms of its place in the international niche of wealth or importance or anything
economy
like that,
and such,
would be the kind of place to go back with this, because they would have the avenues. You would be special. Very easy to reward you. But if you went to one of the top countries which are leading the world anyway, one more guy coming with three gold medals is just another three
like
triple
Michael
gold
Phelps
medalist.
Going home,
yes,
you know?
Yeah, it's a different thing. So now, from what I heard yesterday, apparently he's being offered, in case he doesn't want to be in sport, he's being offered a cabinet post.
This is Bolt we're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
What I picked up in the television yesterday.
But, you know, what can a sportsman like him, you know, bring to the cabinet?
Well, I mean, he is, of course, quite an articulate guy. And, you know, I mean, he has prepared himself well for a public career, I'm sure. Mm. And he can manage crowds and he can manage followers. For him to be a leader will not be difficult because he'll not be short of followers. You can get advisors to in all fields. And so, I mean, he'll be the public face that, you know, would open doors in any sector of the country.
You're talking about influence here.
Yeah. I mean, for instance, he could walk into any part of Jamaica. I don't think he would need to pass out a calling card. And the crowds will flock. And in this current day and age, I can imagine the number of selfies that people will want to take with him.
Now, that's how you rate your popularity nowadays.
It's known as a selfie index.
Wow, yes. Thank you. I hadn't heard of that. Okay.
Yes, yeah.
Team Malaysia 2 had its best showing at the Olympics this time round, bagging 4 silver medals in badminton and diving and a bronze in cycling. So close, yet so far, some said, after those epic battles for the gold by our shuttlers. But Tan Sri Dr. Mani Jagadesan feels we should be celebrating this feat and looking at the bigger picture. So what about Team Malaysia, Tan Sri? I mean, we came the closest this time around to that first elusive Olympic goal. What kind of lessons will our broken-hearted athletes be taking home from Rio?
Well, first of all, I think we need to put things in the proper perspective. I mean, very clearly, this was the most successful outing in Malaysia's participation in the Olympic Games since they first ventured in 1956 as a British colony. So this is clearly the best outing for a team of 32 qualified athletes. They came back with 4 silvers and a bronze across 3 sports. So not only did they get a larger number of medals, but they also widened the spread. And of course, that alone, you know, when you have done better than you've done before, congratulations are in order. But at the same time, you have to see how narrowly you missed getting the top prize and try to analyze as to what would have been the factors that brought you so close and yet, you know, you didn't quite finally realize the ultimate goal. And, you know, in this Olympic showcase, it's quite interesting in terms of what the medals mean. At first, you know, when the Olympic movement first started, they were even not happy with official medal tallies and so on, you know. Not happy. Because it is not what they wanted to promote in the old days. But today, you can't avoid this. And the medal tally is put by every media. Minute to minute, it's updated.
It's in your newspapers every day?
Yeah, so you can't really run away from a medal tally and make comparisons. But then, you know, you have to read deeper into these numbers. What is very clear is that a gold is a gold. It carries more weight. I suppose that's even seen in the commodities market. And so I don't think it's unnatural to equate one gold medal as being higher than any number of silver medals. And that's why very clearly you find, you know, 4 or 5 of our even Southeast Asian counterparts like Thailand, Indonesia, Vietnam and Singapore. Because they've got gold medals, they rank much higher in the medal tally than us. We've just finished up with the 60th slot. These people are obviously Thailand with 2 gold medals among the Southeast Asia countries tops our group. Then you have Indonesia, Vietnam, and then you have Singapore. They rank higher than us. Although we might have total more medals, but a gold is a gold.
Yeah.
And that's how the world sees it. That's how the ranking lists are put there. So, I mean, obviously you can't blame associations, countries, everybody prospecting for gold. Now, on the other hand, I think you cannot also run away that there are gold medals and gold medals. Meaning that different sports have different impacts.
Right, right.
You know, I'm sure you will agree with me that some sports attract more attention than others globally. You know, because some have been very traditional sports. Some sports are so universal that everybody understands. For instance, I don't think anybody would not want to watch the 100-meter final. First of all, it doesn't take too long.
10 seconds to be exact.
Yeah. So as long, you know, you are not going to be sit there for hours. Huh? So I think, you know, there is impact factor of a gold medal as well. So different events carry weightage. So somehow maybe, I mean, it is not official, But there is this element of weightage in people's minds, you know. So when you choose events to excel in, depending, of course, on the talents, it's no use looking for sports in which you don't have the intrinsic talent. But where the sports you have the basic tenets of talent, then you know, obviously you would want to choose that attract the most attention.
Tan Sri Dr. Mani Jekadesan, who was the winner of the first National Sportsman Award back in 1966, also revealed that the quest for gold at the next Olympics has already begun. Our athletes may have just returned from Rio just days ago, but they will already be thinking and preparing for the next Summer Games in Tokyo in 2020.
Actually, this thing never stops, you know. It's an ongoing process. Because don't forget, the quadrennial Olympic Games is the summit every 4 years. But in between, there's a lot of events building up to this. And the whole Olympic movement has been structured to reflect this. So while you have, first of all, the Olympic International Olympic Committee and the Olympic Games, keeping in line with the five rings, you have the five continental organizations which run their own continental games.
Right.
So like, for instance, in our continent, we have the Olympic Council of Asia, which runs no less than four games. The Asian Games, the Asian Winter Games, the Asian Indoor and Martial Arts Games, and the Asian Beach Games, and the Asian Youth Games. Five games, not four, five. So these are the spawning grounds. These five games will be held in the next 4 years before the next Olympics. So our young fellows will start with the Youth Games, and others will be in the other games, building up to try to make it to the next Olympic Games. So it never stops. In another 1 month is the Asian Beach Games in Da Nang, followed by the Asian Indoor and Martial Arts Games next September in Ashgabat, followed by the Asian Games in 2018 in Jakarta. So it never stops. And this will be reflected also in the other continents. And coming down further down, you have your sub-regions. For instance, apart from the Asian region, we have the Southeast Asian region. We have our own SEA Games.
Yes.
And for that, Malaysia is the host next year. And already, making plans to be the number one medal winner in the SEA Games. So, you know, this preparation is a continuum. It's a seamless continuum. I mean, you take a short break and then you come back again. And then you move on to the next things. So now, having won a silver medal at the Olympics, people would expect nothing less from gold at all these other games.
Yeah.
And for the new aspirants, they will work their way up the ladder until they reach the point at which they'll become a serious Olympic contender.
If you missed our three-part Olympic special with Tan Sri Dr. Mani Jekadesan, where he discussed how he was dubbed the fastest man in Asia, plus the concept of Olympism and what doping is doing to the sport industry, check out the podcast at bfm.my/barnun. And to wrap up this week's episode, I'd just like to say, with our 59th Merdeka celebrations coming up next week, I think we as Malaysians have plenty to be proud of when it comes to our achievements in the sporting arena. Our athletes in Rio united the nation effortlessly in the past few weeks, and I hope we can hold on to that spirit of unity and strength in everything we do as Malaysians. Welcome home, Team Malaysia, and thank you for your contribution to the nation. This is Audrey Raj. Catch you again next week. Bar None, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%, APR 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.